recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive, good old Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman Show, Don Shaw.
We are going to talk about some of these things, aren't we?
We are indeed. I hope we do.
I do, too.
That's why we're here. Don Patterson's in the building.
And with the blind in mind, yeah. We'll do it.
My name is Tom Houston, but the creator and producer of Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Phil Park.
Thank you so much, Tommy. It's so wonderful to be here with all you folks today. I wonder if I turned the finalizer off. Levels don't sound right, but anyway, we're recording.
Uh-huh.
And we're recording on our new CD recorder, and we're not sure if it's
operating.
In fact, we're not sure of anything.
On our new
we
CD
are
recorder.
Sure. Yes, we hope we are. We push the buttons, and we hope that... We hope we're recording a new CD recorder.
Yes, Tom.
I had some...
yes, Tom.
I had some...
I have my doubts.
You don't think it's recording?
On the recording, because I see 3 zeros, you know, over here. It says one track, but then I see 3 zeros, and you
three
would think
zeros.
It would be counting.
So you'd think it would be counting. So you think it's not.
I don't believe it's recording.
Should we take bets on
it? I don't believe
this?
It's recording. Well, the dad is modulating, though, right?
Yes.
Jesus,
and that's rolling.
I'd hate. Have we ever done a show that we just didn't get?
No,
not yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened yet.
But of course, there's always a first time.
There is.
Well, you know, that'd be terrible.
Hopefully not. Though.
Well, if you noticed, Frankie.
No.
It's my dog, Frankie Brown.
Yeah.
She's a big...
What would happen if you push that button again?
No, don't do that. No, that wouldn't help us at all. I mean, that wouldn't help us. We'd get in the middle of this conversation, which nobody wants to hear. But speaking of Don Patterson, you've noticed he's a little quieter today than usual. It's because he's carrying a heavy burden. And something is about to happen to Don. As you know, as we've mentioned many times... Tom Houston and Don Shaw and I are all three married to three lovely, large women, and they
lovely, large women.
I didn't say that. You said that. He said that. I didn't say that. No, we are there, and they all drive cars, and we love them all.
Pleasantly plump.
And Don Patterson, who has not been. When did you get your divorce from the Sweet Pam?
Oh, 17 years ago.
17 years.
Goodness.
And Well, I bet she remembers. Anyway, Don Patterson's fixing to get married.
Hey!
He's yeah. The warden has finally told him it's time, we're getting married.
Yeah.
And so he's taking the nasty plunge, and none of us are invited, but it's okay. I'm not hurt. If he doesn't invite anybody else, if I find out other people were invited, I'm really going to be...
I noticed when I picked him up, he was a little bit more solemn. Than usual.
Solemn than usual. Well,
you know, just in the car on the way over here, she called and wanted to know if I had the bracelet on. So.
Yeah.
She figured she could just keep better control of me.
Marriage is a wonderful institution. The only thing I don't understand is that Sunday is going to be the Sunday that Kevin and Dale are coming.
Well, I'll be here with bells on.
So, you know, is she going to let you, you bringing the chili?
Yes, sir.
That would be the question.
That would be good.
And probably banana pudding.
Well, good. We need banana
pudding. Whoa, we do.
Yeah.
We really do need banana
we'll
pudding.
We'll have that, yeah.
We'll
eat
banana
yeah,
pudding.
We're not going to do any festivities till school's out, and we'll probably go. You know, we make our usual pilgrimage down to Galveston, married or not. So.
Yeah.
And then...
You Methodists are just kind of liberal, aren't you? Just kind of...
Well,
take things as they go, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Now I'm not one of them. Yes.
You're not a Methodist.
Yet.
Well, son, hold on. You will be. Your time is coming. Your time is coming, this fair and young.
Actually, though, she was. You know, we couldn't pick a day. I mean, we couldn't decide. You know, and so we sat there and talked. And actually, you have, I think, in the state of Texas, you have 30 days in which the marriage license is good. 3 days until it is good. Like you apply, you go, like we're going tomorrow, that we actually can't get married until Sunday or Monday.
Yeah.
And so then we couldn't pick a day, and so I finally decided on that one. But I said, actually, probably what we'd be better off doing is like just holding on to the license until close to the day they expired and then seeing if we were still in the mood, if we were still so inclined.
I always thought, God forbid that anything ever happens to Luann, but if it ever does and I get married again, I'm going to immediately file for divorce. And then just kind of have that there in case, something happens. I could just go ahead and go with it. Well, anyway, I think that's wonderful. Y'all been going together 3 or 4 years. And it's probably time you got married. Luann is going to die. She doesn't know this yet. I need to call her right after the show and tell her.
Oh, I bet you it's all over there. I bet she probably does.
I don't see how, unless Emily told somebody.
Emily told.
You don't suppose Emily told anybody,
Emily,
do you?
Emily went to a little running group meeting last night. They have a salad and a little.
I know about it.
And she told. And
everybody.
Everybody, I think. Because at school this morning, people were just coming in her room going, "You're getting married. I heard you just get married."
Well, that's good.
So I figure the courthouse crowd probably.
So wonderful. Is it hot in here or what? Turn the air conditioner on.
A little bit.
I'll go kick the air conditioner on.
Too bad.
Air conditioner and Frankie, then we probably couldn't hear.
We didn't get an email this week, and I'm really hurt. By the way, what number is this show, Donald?
This is number 35.
35.
Yeah. 35. Hey. Big 3-5.
That's amazing. 35, and they're making MP3s of it and putting it all over everywhere.
Which is good.
Which I think is good. Well, this drink is a little stout.
A little stout, huh?
I got a little carried away with the jack.
Certainly not from the...
from the water, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Tommy has just a terribly interesting article that he's going to read, and I'm going to go turn the air conditioner on while he reads it, okay?
Okay, right. This is all about the GPS Orientation Solutions Tracker, a GPS system for the blind and visually impaired, a revolutionary system that uses GPS and digital maps to help blind persons find their way in urban and rural areas. Tracker uses users can pinpoint exactly where they are, learn about area attractions, and find out how to get to specific destinations. Now, GPS lets them know their location anywhere in the world with continually growing precision. Tracker offers the visually impaired greater freedom, raising their confidence in their ability to travel near or far for business or pleasure. It also helps them access and enjoy the most valuable and interesting opportunities their surroundings have to offer. Now, Tracker gets me where I'm going. Tracker helps guide the visually impaired through their environment. It complements existing aids, white canes and guide dogs. It does not replace them. Now, sleek and discreet, Tracker provides information in the most natural way possible and allows users to record both vocal and written notes. A wide variety of maps are available, covering most of Western countries. Maps can be bought online and downloaded, or ordered and delivered on CD or compact flash T cards.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. User-friendly Tracker employs off-the-shelf hardware for GPS input. Tracker is fully upgradable, so it can expand to accommodate new hardware platforms and detailed geographic information. The main features are real-time information detection. That's like intersections and points of interest. Real-time offline map browsing for a route preview.
Okay.
Route planning and recording. And then flexible level of vocal information. Vocal point of interest creation and access to GPS status information. Now, this thing weighs 1.3 pounds, Phil.
Whoa.
Is that the complete system? 1.3 pounds?
That's 600 grams or 1.3 pounds, it says here.
And you need no outboard computer to go with it. That's it.
I think
it's standalone.
I think that's it.
Now, let's have that price.
Okay, well now, I haven't seen a price yet, but it may be in here before we get there. But it's the size now is 3/4 inches wide. It's, I lost my place, 5.26 inches high, and it's an inch deep. And here's a testimony, I guess. I couldn't do without my Tracker GPS. It's just as useful on daily commutes as on business trips. Before I leave on a trip, I download the map for my destination city from the VisuAid website. Then once I'm comfortably settled on the plane, I can start exploring the city using the browsing offline mode. Tracker points out attractions near my hotel, restaurants, stores, museums, and so on. I can save talking notes about points of interest. For example, a reminder about a restaurant someone really liked. Evenings before business appointments, I often have a little free time to explore the city with my tracker. Once I'm on the sidewalk, cane in hand, the magic of GPS goes to work. As I walk along, tracker tells me about points of interest on the way and the name of streets and intersections.
Man, what a deal.
Boy,
what a
deal. Isn't that something?
No kidding.
Boy, that's amazing.
It is.
Well, in 10 years from now, these will be just as common as transistor radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody.
I guarantee you.
You'll be saying stuff like, well, we ought to give us one when we're born. We're blind, they'll just give us one. Well, they, you know, like we do now, we think now that they ought to give us a computer when we're born.
Yeah, yeah.
But this will be just as common, and it will be a far superior. You know, if technology makes
just
as
incredible.
Many quantum leaps in the next 10 years as it has in the last,
my goodness,
we got something.
Oh, yeah.
No telling where it'll be.
Well, and I think, the big breakthrough in this technology, too, is that, like, the accuracy, you know, it's within a few feet now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
what
they were even talking about, like, the smart bombs that we use. They used to miss, 100 yards or so, but now, I mean, and I know Emily's. The warden's brother has a large boat, and it has state-of-the-art GPS. And, I mean, you buy maps, interactive maps, I guess, like of the channels or bodies of water, that, like Galveston Bay, uh-huh. and it will identify down to the buoy number that you are closest to. And, I mean,
deal.
With it, just flat tell you exactly
Same
where
kind
you
of deal,
are.
Really.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
And well, there's no reason that you can't have a talking one. I mean, there's no reason why.
Yeah. Apparently, this one does.
What I'm saying, there's no reason not to with speech engines.
Yeah.
Digital information, anything will talk. You know, you can make. By the way, while I'm thinking about that, does anybody know if they make a talking musical instrument tuner, something that you tune your musical instrument with? Like, I have a tuner, and it has C, C sharp, D. It has a full scale. But I have to go ask somebody every time I turn it on. I go to A and look at it and say, is this A 440? Because it can be adjusted up to 447 or 436 or, you know, it can be adjusted up and down. So I'd like to have one that would say, this is A 440 or this is A, your A now is 438 or whatever it is. I wonder if anybody makes a talking tuner.
Good question. Maybe we can find out the answer.
See, with all this,
I'll have to investigate more, but and it's not a standalone, but I believe in my band in a box is a guitar tuner that would be, I guess, accurate.
That would be on the money.
Yeah.
That you couldn't move.
That you couldn't move. I think, well, I guess you could probably move it, but if you didn't move it, it wouldn't move by itself. I'll look into it because I was reading something about it.
Talking. Surely some other musician has faced, because you don't want to, because what I do when we do an album is I lay the drum patterns and then the two rhythm tracks and a bass track. It would be awful to lay those and realize
that you were.
When the guys came in that they tuned with their tuners and we were just a little bit out, you know?
Yeah.
That would be
yeah.
really disappointing. Because
they,
that's what an unprofessional jerk, because you want to impress them with your, how it is when you're blind, you got to be better than anybody else at what you do. And so you don't want to be fumbling around erasing tracks and not in tune and that, because, we don't want to work with him.
Yeah.
He's blind,
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Anyway, the GPS system.
Uh-huh, and he said he no longer has to stop and ask where such and such place is. It has, using the Where I Am feature, he says he can find out his position at any time, the name of the street he's on, the approximate address. In the morning, he says he checks his tracker to learn the route to his appointments, and with the help of instructions obtained beforehand, can visualize a route in browsing offline mode.
Yeah, that'd be handy for that.
Uh-huh. It's like using a talking map. And once I leave the hotel, he says, my tracker tells me how many streets I have still have to cross before the intersection where I need to turn right. Now, if I try to turn onto a dead end, tracker says, can't go that way. VisuAid's tracker has truly revolutionized my travel independence. And I can't hear myself anymore around town and on the road. And no, it's nothing in my earphones right now.
And I have nothing.
That's odd. I hear us also.
Okay, well, I can hear me now.
Now.
Can you hear me now? I can hear me now.
Can you hear me now?
Anyway, this was written, this was from Andre Dubos, a technical advisor. And the information was obtained from visuaid.com.
Good article.
Well, I just wonder.
I thought so too.
Doesn't explain.
How about that? Yeah, I'm back.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, right. I'm back.
Okay, all right, we are back.
We're back.
Well, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, but I can't figure out what it is. So
Tom, you and I must be sharing a channel or something.
You're direct monitoring off the board, and I don't see how what I just did kicked it off. See what I don't see.
Yeah, that, it doesn't make logic.
Doesn't make any sense to me, and we're probably not recording, so to hell with it. What time? Can we get out of here? And
this is just practice.
I think it is, actually.
Well, I'll tell you this. If we didn't get this show, we're sending them an old one. We ain't doing another show, buddy boy. I guarantee you that. This fella we're going to have on as a guest here in a minute has just got a problem. He ain't getting on. And besides that, listen, we got a vocal for bumper music off the
we
satellite.
We do. Believe it or not.
Remember, that's the worst show we've ever done.
No,
it's a great show. Wonderful show. We'll be back in just a minute more with the Blind Andy Man.
Broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com.
Listening to the Blind Handyman on the ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Thank you, Jack Gardner. Doesn't he have a wonderful voice?
He certainly does.
Certainly a great announcer. See, the finalizer's not in the line because the levels would be better if it was. But speaking of being in the line, Dave Farron is in the line. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Hello.
Doing?
Hello, Dave.
There he is.
Hello?
There he is.
Yeah.
I can't hear
Dave.
You can't hear Dave?
I can't hear Dave. Can you hear Dave?
I can hear Dave.
I can hear Dave.
Then you guys are going to have to interview him.
I can hear everybody this what time it back is. This way.
Well, he's handed you the headset there, Phil. Are you going to...
I've just figured out
what's going on there?
Uh-huh.
Dave, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me
all right.
back.
I can hear him now. I fixed that. I can hear him now.
Yeah, I can too. Hey, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me back there, guys.
Yeah.
Have you been here before?
Yeah, I was the guy that painted the chimney last August.
I know, that was up on the big ladder. And your wife's name is Patricia?
Yeah.
I see you on the list all the time.
I'm on there often enough.
I see your posts on the list all the time, and you do good. You see, you gotten to where, have you been inspired by our show to do more handyman things, Dave?
Yeah, actually I have. Well, this might surprise you. Back in around September, she wanted me to hang a window blind in the one front bedroom there because, you know, when the sun sets in the west, it comes straight in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to cut some shims to to make put the brackets up because, you know, the window frame sticks out too far.
Yeah.
And the handsaws I have, well, you know, they're old and they probably could barely cut butter. I've used them.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked my brother if I could borrow his power saw, and, you know, after a few months, I figured he forgot, so I went and cut them myself with my handsaw. You know, they're kind of ragged, but they're blinds up is working.
So are you saying that he wouldn't let you borrow the power saw? Is that what you're alleging?
He bought me a power saw for Christmas.
Oh, he bought you a power saw for Christmas.
All right.
Now I got to learn how to use it. I told him I'll have a friend of mine teach me how to use it.
Okay, well, now, what kind of power saw is this? This one you hold in your hand?
Yeah, 7 1/4 inch circular saw.
Okay, so that's what we call a skill saw.
Yeah.
The one you need the guide for.
And it's noisy.
Right. Yeah, they're noisy.
They're noisy. That's the only thing I don't like about them. They're noisy. But they'll if that's the only saw you got, that's the only saw you need, because they'll do about anything you want to do if you got nerve enough to do it.
Oh, they will.
But did you hear the show where Patterson was talking about the
the guide.
The guide for the saw.
Yeah. When I get onto it, what I'm going to be buying is that AccuRip.
Oh yeah, it'd be worth having. You need
it. The only thing you need with a skill saw like that is you need a couple of saw horses, a couple of little. And I think they sell little metal collapsible saw horses, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do.
So that would be the thing to buy, and you just lay your board kind of between those, and put the try not to let the ends you're going to cut off get too heavy over one of the sawhorses.
Yeah.
And if you got it, you can go to the hardware store, or you may have
a piece. We have a Lowe's and we have a Home Depot.
Both of them are great, but they're hard to find. You'd be better off.
Oh, yeah, they're a nightmare to go through.
If you can find, look around in your neighborhood, if you can find a guy that's got a local little Don, you know, Fred's Hardware.
We have a local hardware a couple blocks away.
You'd be much better off with that guy, because he'll do hands-on, and he'll show you. But a piece of angle iron, you can buy a little 5-foot piece of angle iron for $9 or $8 or $3 or however much they cost. Makes a perfect straight edge, and you cut anything you want to cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And try not to cut the cord.
Yeah.
You're cutting.
Well, Shaw had it. Shaw had it.
Well, who cut the cord, Don?
No, but actually a friend of mine that was using my skill saw, believe it or not, actually did cut the cord of the saw.
Oh.
So it was running down using a piece of angle iron like Phil was talking about, cutting a straight edge, and just ran right across the cord.
Well, I'd make fun of him. The only thing is, my first wife's brother did the same damn thing building the doghouse.
Oh, it happened.
And he could see perfectly. Yeah, and he could, he cut the cord. What happened, Jack? Well, I think I cut the cord in two. Yeah, you reckon you did? There were sparks everywhere, and, you know, it caught your pants on fire.
What do you think you did there, you?
Boy,
dumb Chuck.
That would sting.
It would. It would be. The only reason not to use a skill saw is if you have a table saw.
Table saw.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a table saw, skill saw is perfectly. And tell us about these. You say she wanted an awning? Wanted a what?
No. A retractable window blind.
Retractable?
You know, so like you pull it down when the sun's beating
it. Yeah, Venetian blinds.
Just regular Venetian blinds that you can pull down and open and close?
Yeah, it's not a Venetian. It's just on a roll.
It's on? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Actually, this is the second time I did it. Now, tell me, I'll give you the story of how I put the first one up, and tell me who this hasn't happened to.
Okay.
You know, the first time I go to put it up, the first one, I get the brackets out of the pack, and I put them on the wall, and I realize the window frame is, you know, too thick, so I have to put some kind of shims back there. Well, I had a vise back in the little addition on the garage there, but I didn't have it mounted. So I go to mount the vise on the workbench. You know, I get screws long enough to get down through. The holes are too big. So we go to the magic coffee cans that have any kind of parts that I've ever collected over the years, and I found three washers, mount the thing. Then I find a piece of wood and get these dull handsaws I have out. But, you know, it worked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The whole project, it should have taken 15, 20 minutes, took about 2 hours.
Well, yeah,
that's just part. That's happened to me.
That's part of it. You know, you guesstimate, and you know what I said one time. My wife's going to help me with this project, and it won't take much longer if she helps me.
She helps her.
You don't want to say that because that'll get you.
No, I'll tell you what. My wife's helped me a lot. In fact, she calls us the Monroe Brothers.
Can your wife have some sight?
Yeah. You remember them from Green Acres?
The Monroe Brothers.
Yeah.
I may have missed them. I don't
remember. One time when I put a shelf on this one, my old desk, I cut, you know, four little legs, or and we had what do they call those things that over windows of the Lance? It's this long piece of wood, the one we got the house, and we took it down, and we didn't use it, so I cut that for a shelf. And when we put it on the desk, you know, we got it out, and we put the level on it, and mm-hmm. she said, it's level. I said, oh, great. She looks up and says, the Monroe Brothers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they were just kind of klutzy carpenter sort of guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but
yeah.
They were
brother and sister team is what they were.
Oh, okay. But the blinds are up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sun is safely shielded from...
Well, our bed faces east, and when the sun comes up in the morning, she got it right in the face.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if she wanted to sleep in, and she got so, well, that's good. What else? Have you done anything else? Painted any chimneys?
No, not since then. Maybe this year, probably next year. It just depends.
Yeah. How about recessed lighting?
Yeah. Dawn called the other night, right when a friend of mine and I had like bagged it for tonight. In fact, he was standing by the phone. That's why he answered it. I got these two recessed lights above my kitchen sink.
You know,
they were up there okay. They weren't as solid as I like them, but I never really thought there was any problem with them until one day a couple of months ago. I put my hand up there in the winter, and I felt some cold air coming down it. Never noticed that.
Not good.
Yeah. So
not good.
I went up in the attic and crawled over to where, you know, they're hanging. And there's actually a little bit of a drop off between the attic floor and these things because the ceiling in the kitchen is lowered to cover up the fact that there's a big support beam because that's in the addition.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I looked down, I saw the lights, so I figured it didn't seem too bad. But then I put my hand on there to find out what else was going on. And I wished it wouldn't have.
What happened? You get shocked?
No, nothing like that, no. The light's mounted to the box. The box is mounted to a little piece of wood, which is mounted to two other pieces of wood. The only problem was they weren't hooked to anything.
They were just kind of laying up in the attic.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a problem.
Well, that could be a problem. Here's where the skill saw comes in.
Well, yeah. Any event, so we got to, you know, this. I figured this is definitely going to be a two-man job. So a friend of mine, you know, he finally got some time. I pulled the light down about last week just to get an idea what size hole we're talking about here to go get some, you know, the recessed lights.
Yeah.
I pulled the light down, and I thought, I better not say a whole lot to Patty. She's going to get really worried. There was, like, no insulation on these wires.
No insulation?
Yeah, it was, like, wasn't there. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, where did this guy who put these things up get these things? It's...
I don't know. That's... And you're saying you just took the whole light down and covered the hole with something while the light was down.
Yeah.
And so there's no insulation on the wire, but you did cut the breaker off before you started.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So you got the light down. What were you going to build a frame for this light to go in, or
what we tried to do the other day is we went and bought two recess lights, the kind you can insulate around.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is those have a little legs on them that you have to like. Lock in place, you know, once you get it up in there to hold it.
Uh-huh.
And there's just not enough real estate up there to do that with. There's the way where the hole is cut, there's like, you know, framing around it, and there's just not enough real estate to get the legs. So we decided the other night, okay, we're bagging this, and we're just gonna go put a fluorescent light underneath the kitchen, underneath the cabinet, and we're patching these holes up and just getting rid of them all together.
That would be an option.
That would be an option. But now this hole is above the sink?
Well, yeah, it's on either side right up at the, in the ceiling right above the...
I got your point. Just patch those holes and put a fluorescent light up.
Yeah.
The fluorescent light may cover the holes, will it?
No, we're not putting it up there. We're going to put the fluorescent light under the cabinet.
Okay.
Actually, we're going to do that in about an hour.
That'll be a good project. That won't
you're,
be.
You're going to do that and just patch these, put...
We're going to patch these holes up and spackle over them and paint them, and hopefully...
Oh, you're going to do it the right way with sheetrock.
Yeah.
That'll work. That'd probably be the best.
I have another idea for you. If I had two holes above my sink that nothing was in, I'd put speakers in them.
There you go.
I'd put speakers
choice,
in, run some wires to your stereo, and then when you were doing those dishes, you could. I have that above my sink. I have two speakers. We built this house. I had the guy cut two places for speakers. I had the speakers already bought. I showed him what size I wanted, and he cut holes, and you can feed. I can stand at the sink and in the stereo pattern. When I stand right in the middle of the sink, I'm in the stereo pattern.
Yeah, what a deal.
So that's, you know, that's one use. That's one use for the holes there. If you could get some speakers with baffles, you could put them up in there and run some wires to your stereo and, you know, you switch to the speakers.
I'm a little confused, Dave, though. Like, if you were standing in front of your sink, straight up above the sink is where these two holes were, right?
Yeah.
Is that like sheetrock or is that a cabinet? I mean, there's a window that you'd be facing if you were standing in the sink?
I figured somebody'd ask you that. You know, normally when you're at a sink, you're looking out a window, right?
Right. Well, but if not, a lot of places don't, but...
Is that sheetrock up there?
Is it a cabinet up there or a sheetrock just at the ceiling?
Oh, the ceiling... Where the holes are, it's sheetrock.
Yeah.
But there's a cabinet in front of me above the sink. So if you're standing in front of the sink, the lights are pretty much above where you're standing.
Okay, so they're out in front of the cabinet.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, a few inches.
I was going to say, you know, if you have those two holes, you might want to look into, I mean, for neatness or, you know, two, if you'd, they make recessed fluorescent lights. You know, you could actually go buy a recessed and cut, probably get one big enough that would cover both of those holes, and you'd actually just cut out more sheetrock.
I'll bet you could. That's what I was thinking. Just get a 6-foot fluorescent light.
Yeah, that is recessed for just
that,
for that.
That might cut. That might just take out the hole. That might do the whole thing. And like, you've already bought the light to go into the cabinet, right? So y'all are fixing to do this.
Yeah, he picked it up yesterday. He's coming over about an hour.
Or if you were real ambitious, you could cut out the sheetrock between the holes and then go up and cut out a section of the roof and put in a skylight. Now, what a deal that would be.
On my brand new roof.
Put in a skylight.
Yeah. Put in the old skylight.
Don't forget where we live up here, man.
That's right.
Skylights leak.
You live in Pennsylvania. Where do you live?
Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And you're a total, and your wife sees partial.
Yeah, I'm almost a total.
Almost a total.
Almost a total.
Well, this should be a good project, Dave. I trust that you will consult the list and post something on the list, and maybe if you give us a kind of a description on the list, we can read it next week on the show. How would it be?
Okay.
Kind of tell us how everything worked out and kind of keep everybody up with the things you do and...
The project, boy.
Yeah, Black and Mr. Decker, they're all charged up. And
got those tools ready, huh?
Got those tools ready. Well, you got your skill saw ready. Have you used the skill saw yet?
No. Well, basically because a friend of mine, he works like, you know, 70, 80 hours a week that's going to show me. Even though he lives right around the corner, you know, I don't see him all that often.
So you're a little bit afraid of it.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with it myself because I've never done it.
Yeah. Don't need to
give me a little orientation to what's going on.
It won't hurt you. Just don't, you know, just turn it on. You hold it and you actually hold it in one hand.
Yeah.
I've
seen them use it. I've seen other guys use the things. In fact, I've held more than my share of boards while they were being cut.
Well, of course, a sighted person that can see can, like you can, Patterson. You can take a board and draw a line, and you can just walk down that line with a skill saw, right?
Yeah, pretty good, but now I do it with two hands. You know, you have that knob up on the front of the saw.
Yeah.
And then I can use the guide if I cut real slow. But, yeah, I can do that. But, I mean, somebody like Robert Todd used one hand and just...
He could just, the boards on my porch out here, they just let them run wild. I mean, they were all different lengths. There was some of them were 2 inches shorter than others. They just laid them, nailed them down to the floor joists. And just let them run wild. Then they pop the chalk line down them. You know what I'm talking about,
Dave?
Yeah,
I know what a chalk line is.
They popped the chalk line, and Robert just stood at one end, started the skill saw, and went straight down and cut. And so they were all ended up all smooth. I just thought that was the neatest thing in the world.
That's how this friend of mine and I, we did, we put new walls on my garage about 6 years ago. He just followed the line, and, you know, while he was cutting. And then while we were mounting the T-111 on the garage, you know, I was holding it from the bottom, and those things are heavy when you're holding them that way.
Now, that's something a blind person will never be... Like, there's no way I could have cut all those those deck boards off. Yeah. So when Shaw and I built the walk, we just made them even on one side and let them on the side you couldn't see, they're uneven.
Yeah.
We didn't make any difference.
What the hell? Huh?
What the hell?
It looks okay, though.
It looks okay.
Somebody said it looked like a blind guy built it.
Looked like a blind guy built it. I always tell them it looked like a couple old drunk blind guys built this walk because they did. You know,
that's true.
Walk that goes from my studio up to the garage so you don't get your little tootsies wet when it's raining, which we've had a lot of in East Texas.
Yeah.
So you've actually done a lot more handyman stuff than you're willing to talk about. Y'all put walls in your garage?
Well, see, I didn't have this place inspected by an official inspector, but I had a cousin of mine who was like a plumber for 50 years check it out for me.
We've talked about those inspectors on the show.
Yeah, you have. And, you know, I probably could have done that, but basically, you know, this wasn't a money pit. You know, he said it's in good enough shape and it's worth the money for what they're asking.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put something into it, but, you know, it's not going to break you, and it hasn't. Yeah.
So you didn't have any inside walls in your garage, so you put insulation?
No, I'll explain this. This garage, turns out, was a kit garage from Sears, and it had the outer walls on it were like some kind of real thin material, not wood, but, and I found this out because at one point when we first got here, there was one little piece on the one side sticking out, so I thought I'd just tap it back in, and the hammer went straight through.
So that's not really a glowing recommendation for those garage kits from Sears, folks.
Yeah.
If you're planning to buy one of those, you might give Dave a call.
Might not want to do that. In any event, I showed my friend, he says, we can put T111 on it.
Yeah.
So we put it all around the outside.
T111.
Yeah,
wonder what that T stands for, folks.
I have no idea.
T stands for temple.
Hey.
You think it might?
T stands for temple. Yes, it does.
East Texas comes in.
Yes, and East Texas comes. So anyway, so you got some T111 and
about $400 worth.
And covered the outside with T111.
On around, because the front was fine, but it was wood, but the two sides in the back.
But you still haven't insulated it and made it into a real room, huh?
There's no heat on it.
Well, we may have
it's not attached.
Someday, when you get a table saw and a chop saw and a router table, you'll want to build a shop, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, and there's a little workshop in the back.
We'll be here when you do. Listen, we're going to go, but do your project of this lights and post something on the list, and we'll read it next week, David.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Good luck, David.
Thanks for having me back on.
We'll visit with you again. Tell everybody hi, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Take care, Dave.
Don't go around hitting any more walls with a hammer, Dave.
We'll be back with more of the Blind Handyman Show in just a moment.
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive, playing music.
1930s and 40s.
50s and 60s.
The 1970s.
80s and 90s.
The hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio. hang out with other ACB radio listeners, talk with the hosts, provide suggestions about the future of ACB radio. It's all possible through the ACB radio friends list.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB radio.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, I've got a little thing I want to talk about today. It's the right time of year, at least it's the right time of year in our part of the world anyway, planting a garden, a vegetable garden. And I want to talk about container gardens. You know, container gardening is something that's good for blind folks, anyone, really anyone
to
do.
I used to grow ganja in the attic. Is that,
yeah, well, that's a possibility
that
too, isn't it?
Yeah.
But today we'll be talking about vegetable gardening, right. In fact. But, yeah, I was just thinking the same thing when I was thinking about this morning. Inside gardening would remind you of that, wouldn't it?
It would. It's got those grow lights up in the attic, and every time you hear a siren, you're going, Martha!
Every time the helicopter flies over, you hope it's the health.
That's right.
The helicopter comes over, you hope they're looking for, some sort of a chinch bugs or something.
They don't have those
fluorescent. Anyway, go ahead.
That's right. I wonder why a blind person,
here.
Couldn't grow their garden inside, in fact. It works, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
Under the old fluorescent light, boy.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's time for a vegetable container gardening. And it's good for blind folks because whether you live in an apartment or in a house or whatever your situation is, you know, if you just have a balcony of your apartment to grow something on, you could get some small containers, flower pot. You know, if you go to your local Walmart garden center or nursery, you can get all kinds of containers.
All types.
All different sizes and shapes. Anything from a 5-gallon bucket. You could take a 5-gallon bucket of whatever, as long as nothing that was in it that was toxic. You could take a 5-gallon bucket, turn it over, drill a couple of holes in the bottom of the bucket, and they say really it's better to put some small rocks, gravel, in the bottom of the bucket or the flower pot, whatever you're using, or the whiskey barrel. At a garden center, you could buy...
You still can.
Cut off whiskey barrels.
You still can. Lou Anne buys a couple every year.
And, man, they make great container gardens for growing plants and things. But anyway, just drill a couple of holes in the bottom of whatever, 3 or 4 holes, and put in a little layer of rocks or gravel. Put in your potting soil and mix some peat moss in with it and a little bit of that Miracle-Gro or whatever your favorite type of fertilizer might be to use. But really, for a blind person, I've had good luck with Miracle-Gro. Miracle-Gro is easy. You mix it in a gallon container, a 1-gallon empty milk jug or something. Pour it in, fill it up with water, shake it around a little bit. Although I would mix double, kind of whatever the instructions say on Miracle-Gro, which might be like one of the little scoops to 1 gallon of water. I always mix it as 2. I always have done that. Mix it double, whatever they say. I think they probably give you kind of a weak mixture so you won't, burn your plants up and want to sue them or something, that really you can use more than what they say. But they make all kinds of Miracle-Gro, everything from flower gardening to vegetables to just roses to anything. But just get the all-purpose for vegetable garden Miracle-Gro.
You're talking like tomatoes?
Yeah, tomatoes. Tomatoes grow good in containers, patio tomatoes, grow good. Little cherry tomatoes, squash plants will grow good. If you have a little more room to grow anyway, squash plants grow good.
Yeah, you know, the Japanese kind of have always hurt, you know, been hurting for space with their population densities, and they sort of pioneered this, and you know, and then of course they've really, with genetic engineering and all that, gotten plants down to miniature sizes, and then of course some of it they just do it for that purpose, but then it's actually can be productive. And I've done it both ways. I mean, like one year, you know, when I was in Grangerland there, I got real industrious. Now I must have had like about a 20 by 20 garden or bigger, 30 by 20, you know, and I planted it with the people next door kind of. And just trying to tend that without tractor or something, or, you know, by hand becomes a problem.
Oh,
The best garden I ever had in lieu of containers was the a little 8x8 garden, a raised garden
raised
that I
bed
did.
Garden.
But that was the way I had an old tree that I had to have taken down. And so that left a stump that I didn't get ground up right then. And I didn't, it looked kind of bad. And so I built the little frame around it, filled it with dirt.
Yeah.
And I had the best garden I believe I've ever had. And the size, like in containers especially, is a lot of things, especially for a blind or visually impaired person or somebody helping you. You can keep better control of insects.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can, you know, you just have a given area, a small area, and so you can tend it better. Weeding is not as big a problem, especially, you know, well, now some people put plastic down depending on what to keep the grass completely out, because then that also holds moisture sometimes unnaturally, so you don't want to do that. But I actually had it with this 8x8 little garden that I grew. I had cucumbers running all over the place, and when I'd mow the rest of the lawn, I'd pick them up and set it, and then after I finished mowing, I'd put them back out. And we got wet cucumbers.
Well,
and
now,
tomatoes.
Because they grow on long vines, I mean,
running all over the yard. Yeah,
it's the same deal with squash plants. Mm-hmm. Really, if you grow them, it'd be better to grow them in a raised bed garden too, because they'll run, they'll vine like.
My friend Dale Harridge built him a big raised, because he's old like me and he doesn't like to bend over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he built him up on legs a big
garden,
a great big garden, and just filled it up, and he grows.
That was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Well, we're getting in your mix here. Go ahead.
You could build. No, I was just. You could. You could sure build a fine raise. You know, raise it up, however, 2-3 foot high, whatever you wanted it on legs. Build it out of cedar or something that probably wouldn't want to use any treated wood.
Well, now I thought about that. They use landscape timbers in all kind of gardens, don't they?
They do, and I've done it before, but now they're saying, you know, and how everything changes, but now the environmental people are saying, really, you shouldn't use treated wood now around
Or a raised garden, like just have your benches and then use your 5-gallon containers sitting on top of your benches. And
which
have maybe
good.
The benches with slats and then where when you water, it doesn't collect, you know, would run.
That'd be the big thing. If the water could just run through, it seems like would be the big thing to do.
Yeah, but I guess cedar would work, or just don't use. I wouldn't think treated wood would work, but they sure used to do it all the time.
Oh,
you
they
see
did.
The border around a guy's garden would be
a border around a garden.
Landscape timbers.
And we're still here kicking around, but they're just saying now.
How much soil? Like if you were going to grow some tomatoes. I mean, how much soil? How deep does it have to be?
I've heard at least 6 inches deep.
At least.
Inches. And probably more would be better.
I may try this. But
that's
I've never done that.
Huh? One of the great things, how many, you don't eat tomatoes, do you, Pat?
Yes, I love them.
You eat tomato shell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Houston eats them, don't you?
Yes,
one of the great things, man, in June and July, late May and June and July, there is an abundance, I mean, more than we can eat of tomatoes. People are always bringing, you want some tomatoes?
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody grows more than they can. It's one of the wonderful things about living in East Texas is homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes.
Lots of
what would life be without homegrown tomatoes?
Yeah.
That's another thing to think about, too, is what you're going to plant versus, you know, and why you're doing it. Sometimes you better kind of consider it as entertainment and kind of just to see if you can, because thing on a couple of my enterprises, you know, I was trying to grow purple hull peas or something.
Yeah.
And you could buy them already shelled. I mean, my peas cost me $50 a quart.
Uh-huh.
And you could have bought them already.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Time you put the fencing to keep stray animals out.
For saving money, it's not the thing to do.
But tomatoes, just, something well simple. And like I say, if everybody else in town is going to grow tomatoes, then grow bell peppers and squash and trade with them. Or, you know.
Bell peppers grow real good.
But of course, you know, now that there's a couple of farmers markets here in town, there are two competing farmers markets. Isn't it amazing?
Really?
Yeah, competing with each other. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Anyway, you can go down, you can sure buy them cheaper and you can grow them, you know?
Yeah. I wonder how watermelons would grow in a container.
I don't know if they, I mean, they would run some.
It'd be like a vine.
In my little 8x8 garden, I planted cantaloupe. You know, they're akin to, cucumbers are in that same family. And, of course, they run, too. And I got some small ones, but I think it was my maybe soil and then lack of fertilizer. That was the one part of my garden that did not do well. And then I'm just not sure, you know, on further up east, north of here, you know, Sulphur Springs, Pam's granddad used to raise watermelon.
Now, that was your first wife. Yeah. Yeah. You divorced 17 years ago.
That was watermelon country up there. Oh, yeah. I mean, not like Hempstead, I think. But
yeah, Hempstead, boy, is supposed to be the... And one thing about these gardens, too, is, you know, and you can grow, you know, if you have an apartment and just a balcony even, you could get some type of containers and put on your balcony. But one thing that's important for container gardening is sun. The more sunlight you can get on the plant, the better it would be.
The sun on the back of your trailer, where's the sun on your trailer in the afternoon?
Okay, it's in the back.
It's in the back in the afternoon?
Uh-huh.
That'd be perfect. You could build a deal right there by your porch.
Right there on my
porch.
Almost.
Big. Well, almost on your porch. Yeah. I was thinking you could almost build a deal that you could walk out and fool with that's just standing on your porch.
On your rails. Yeah, a lot of people call it flower box gardening.
Yeah.
You know, the little flower boxes three feet long.
You
grow vegetable. You can buy those at Lowe's. And I think they even make, you know, not so fancy ones, expensive ones.
What is the yield on, Shaw? What is the yield on one tomato bush? Is it a bush?
Yeah, the patio tomatoes are like a bush.
Okay.
Yeah, they sure that
really?
They are, in fact.
And you can get how many tomatoes?
I don't know.
One?
You know, two or three plants.
It's all right with
you.
I don't want to say the word bush on this show anymore.
Uh huh.
We're gonna invade North Korea next, guys.
But Tom, you ought to. If you did three or four tomato plants out there, y'all should have
plenty. That'd be enough for you and me, Houston.
Okay. Well, that's all.
Don, have you ever had any luck, like, since tomato plants, I guess, will make until, I guess they have just a time limit, then that plant will not produce. But, like, do y'all kind of stagger the plant? Do you plant some now and then some later
We've
have tomatoes
that.
Longer?
We sure have. Sure have done that. You know, if you would have gambled, if you're willing to gamble, at least in our part of the country, you know,
before
you could have planted
Easter,
some before Easter and just hope you don't have a freeze and then plant some around now and then maybe some. You know, I guess you could plant up to the end of May.
The line is, plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter without them is a culinary bummer. You never heard that?
Goodness.
Jerry Jeff Walker.
Unless you can freeze them.
Yeah, you can't freeze tomatoes, can you? Can you freeze tomatoes?
I don't think they would freeze good.
Yeah.
But, you know, Phil, another thing for a total boy, just a natural thing, you know, you're talking about growing plants and the fluorescent lights and the attic and all this. You know, I never have heard anyone talk about that, but especially, you know, a total, wonder why a guy couldn't just, like, grow a patio tomato plant or something under a fluorescent light and, hell, just keep it on 24 hours a day.
I guess you could.
Wouldn't
you
hate
inside,
to get, you know, hate to get rated
room.
For that?
Or talk about an expensive tomato.
Yeah. Well.
See, now you got Frankie started. Look at what you've done.
She is.
Well, it's
that would be...
Frankie!
That would be an expensive... She doesn't pay attention to me. That would be an expensive tomato if you grew it in your attic.
But if anyone gets interested in this gardening, vegetable garden,
if you want to grow something in your attic, you need to grow something you can sell for $100 an ounce.
Well, that's true. That's true too. That's a fact.
We're in dangerous territory.
But if anyone gets interested in this gardening, either plants or either vegetables or flowers or whatever. There is a blind gardener list that you might want to join, and if anyone's interested in that, just either write me something or post something on the list saying that you're interested, and we can see about coming up. Tammy, I'm going to try this like characters, I think is how Jaws pronounces it anyway, and that could be totally wrong, is the one that posted the link to this blind gardener's list. But anyway, if anyone's interested in that, and wants the address to join the blind gardeners list, either contact her or me, and we could probably get you that information for joining that list if you want to getting to the gardener business, Mr. Tom Houston.
Okay. All right. So. I might check it out because I'm going to try the tomatoes, I guarantee you.
You'd like it. It's kind of neat to mess with. You know, just see what you can do with
something
it.
Something to do. Something else to occupy one's time.
Yeah.
And besides that, you have veggies. Go out and pick you a tomato or two and bring it in and make you a salad. That'd be nice.
Maybe.
I want to grow some nachos.
Nachos. Tomatoes for those
tacos
and nachos.
Well, we stumbled to another. You don't think the CD's recording, huh?
I don't think so.
Well, we just have to make one then, won't we? Huh?
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
Damp machine is
the old,
faithful damp machine. Now I'm hearing noise in my left earphone here. Funny.
I hear a chirping sound. I've heard it all.
Oh, I know what the chirping. Chirping sound is my guy, the guy that made me a thing that. Am I hearing the thing that when it hits the red, it chirps?
I see.
Anyway, thank you, Don Shaw and Don Patterson, Tom Houston.
You're welcome.
We appreciate all of you. And, Don, I guess next time, should we do a show? No, you won't be married by then. It'll be a little later on. We're going to do a couple shows while the guys are down here. We thank you all, and we need email, really. Please email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com. God love your hearts. Email us and join the Blind Handyman list. That's Blind Handyman. That's... How's it, what is it, Sean?
Subscribe. At yahoogroups.com.
Blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Join that list. We love you all. We'll see you next time. I see, said the blind man, you picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.